targeted subsidies can help the poor. But what we're finding is that the subsidies that are employed in the electricity and predominantly in the fuels are not targeted. They're rather universal subsidies and therefore are granted to all the consumers. And in the case of fuel subsidies and electricity subsidies, because the rich consume more, they get the lion's share of the benefits from subsidies.
So in actual fact, it doesn't really help the poor that much. Does that mean that if there was a complete removal of subsidies, the poor wouldn't be really hurt?
No, the poor would be hurt because, as I said before, the poor do consume these products. And what we would say is that subsidies have to be better targeted so that the benefits actually, the lion's share of the benefits, do accrue to the poorest. What we have now is that the subsidies accrue mainly to the rich, and therefore those expenditures end up being allocated to items that are not affecting or benefiting the poor as well as they might be.
So what is the actual impact of energy subsidies on African economies? How do they affect the budget and how do they affect growth?
Well, the subsidies, first of all, provide cost to the budget in many cases, and therefore that crowds out other government spending, including on much-needed infrastructure and on social services. In addition, the subsidies often, by generating a situation that provides a disincentive for the private sector to enter into the electricity supply chain and also inhibits the state enterprises involved from having the resources to actually expand output and improve service, that impacts negatively on growth as well. At the current rate of energy supply, Africa will not be able to continue to grow at the rates that it has seen in recent years. Energy supply is going to be a very strong bottleneck to future growth.
So how should sub-Saharan Africa go about reforming its energy sector? Is it just a question of raising the tariff or the price of energy?
No. In fact, despite the subsidies, sub-Saharan Africa has tariffs that are substantially higher than the rest of the world. And this reflects, in large part, higher production costs. These higher production costs are a result of inefficiency of the state-owned enterprises that produce, low or small economies of scale, and also the fact that at times the countries have to employ emergency modes of generation. All these imply that the costs are quite high. So indeed, a reform strategy must not only focus on tariff increases, but rather ways to improve efficiency and reduce costs. An important aspect of planning an energy reform is to think about the objectives and goals of the reform and to be able to convey that to the public in a very extensive public education campaign. It is also important that the reform is phased in gradually to allow the population time to adjust, to allow those firms that may be energy intensive to be able to adjust their modes of production. And it's important to provide compensating measures to the most needy to allow them to be protected from any tariff increase that takes place.
Is there any examples of African countries that have actually successfully undertaken this strategy?
Yes, I would say that in the area of electricity reform, Kenya actually has done quite well. I mean, of course, there's still a long way to go in that respect, but Kenya has carried out a tariff reform, let me say an energy sector reform, because it's not just tariffs, as I said before, beginning in the mid-1990s through to the mid-2000s, where, one, they improved access to electricity by over 100%. There was also increase in the amount of supply of electricity substantially. And of course, the quality of that service also improved. So that electricity sector reform, which yes, included tariff adjustments, but also included other measures to reduce inefficiencies, did succeed in increasing supply, increasing access, and increasing quality.